Church. Yeah. And this is going to be a great month for you, too. This is a great opportunity. This season is a great opportunity as a follower of Jesus Christ to shine the light of Christ in a dark world. You know, I was just reminded last week about how many people just simply, when it comes to Christmas time, they just miss it. I mean, they just blow it. They just miss it. And I was reminded of this very vividly on Thanksgiving Day, as we had a pretty quiet day with Stephanie and Alex. Stephanie obviously didn't want to go out a whole lot, and we spent a little bit of time with extended family in the evening, and then we find out Stephanie needs us to go to the store. Mom and Dad, she needs us to go to the store. She needs us not just to any store, but we need to go to Target Thanksgiving night. And at first I thought, no big deal, probably be kind of quiet. And then it occurred to me, well, you know, some of these stores start their, like, Black Friday deals on Thanksgiving, right? So sure enough, we get there, it's pouring down rain, and the parking lot is packed with all these crazy people. And I mean, people, televisions by the truckload are coming out of that store. People have got their carts loaded down with everything they can't live without. And so I'm trying to find a parking place, and just finding a parking place is a major battle. Finally, a parking place opens up, and I'm poised, I'm ready, I'm positioned, and someone swoops in around me and goes in ahead of me, and they were ready to fight me. They were ready to fight me. Christmas season. And I get in there, and I mean, it's just wall-to-wall people elbowing each other. The lines are a mile long, and I'm just standing there going, really? I mean, this is it, really? This is what it's all about? So I just want to encourage you in this Christmas season where there's so much confusion about what it's really all about. Boy, there's an opportunity for us as Christians to show this world what Christmas really means. Amen? And in fact, next Sunday, we're launching our Christmas preaching series, and it's called The Real Gifts of Christmas. The Real Gifts of Christmas. And we're going to be talking about the things that money can't buy, the things that only Jesus can give us, and why he came into this world. So the first week, we're going to be talking about joy. The second week, we're going to be talking about love. The third week, we're going to be talking about peace. And the fourth week, we're going to be talking about reconciliation. Those are pretty good gifts right there. Amen? Peace, love, joy, reconciliation. These are the things that only Jesus can bring. And so I just want to encourage you in this Christmas season, be available to how God may want to use you. Yes, you. God can use you. And this morning, in my message this morning, I want to challenge you from moving, from asking the question, who me, to God, here I am. From asking the question, who am I, to saying to God, here I am, all right? And so an example of someone who asked the question, who am I, is Moses, believe it or not. Back in Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. And Moses saw that through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Let's just stop right there. God is about to give Moses an assignment. He's about to call him into leadership. But before God sends Moses, God calls him and assigns him, God reveals his heart to him. God says, I want you to know I've seen the suffering of my people, and I'm concerned about them. So that's why I'm going to send you. I've seen the suffering of my people. I'm concerned for them. Their plight has not escaped me. I see the slave drivers. I see the bondage they're in. And I want you to know this same God who loved his people then loves people now. Amen? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God looks at our world and sees the confusion, the heartache, the hurting, the brokenness. And God cares. He loves them. And before Moses would be able to lead the people, Moses was going to first have to have the heart of God for the people. And if we're going to be effective for the kingdom of God, if we're going to be effective in reaching people for Jesus, first, we need to have the heart of God for people. Amen? Here's it. We live in a world of people. Many, many people in this world pay no attention to God. They don't give God a second thought. But God thinks about them. They're on God's mind. There are many people in this world that have said no to God, but God is saying yes to them. There are many people in this world that even hate God, but God doesn't hate them. God loves them. And so this morning, one of the things that we need to ask the Lord is, God, give me your eyes. God, give me your heart for this lost and dying world. Amen? So before God even calls Moses and tells him what he's going to do, God, first of all, reveals his own heart to Moses. God, show us your heart. God, give us that same tenderness, that same passion, that same compassion for lost and hurting people. And then God goes on. He says, now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And then look at Moses' response to God. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Who am I? Who am I that God should forgive me of my past? Who am I that God should call me? Who am I to think that God could use me? Who am I to think that I could make a difference? Who am I to think that anything that I would have to say to somebody, that God could use that? Who am I? Now, there's good reason Moses thought this way. I guess it's kind of human nature, but Moses had a past. He had a checkered past. Remember, in a fit of rage, Moses had actually killed one of the Egyptian slave drivers. He'd committed murder 40 years before. And so now here, 40 years later, God's calling him and giving him this incredible assignment. And Moses is thinking, God, do you know me? Do you know what I've done? Who am I? Who am I? I want you to know, first thing this morning, I want you to know that God can and will use everybody's story. God can and will use everyone's story. We've all got a story, right? Perhaps your story is that your life was a train wreck and you had to bottom out before you finally woke up and realized your need for Jesus. And Jesus came into your life and he rescued you. I want you to know that's a story God can use. Or perhaps you were raised in church, you were brought up in church, and your mom and dad knew the Lord, and they brought you up in church, but you came to a crossroads in your life, and you turned left when you should have turned right, and you made some poor decisions in your life, and you got away from God, but now you've come back to the Lord. You've come full circle, and you've come back to the Lord by His grace and mercy. I want you to know that's a story God can use. Or maybe you've just been in church all your life for as long as you can remember. You were raised in church and you never turned off. You've always been in church. You've been in the house of God and you've stayed close to the Lord as close as you could. And I want you to know that's a story God can use. God can and will use every story. You say, Tim, well, you don't know my story. Well, a lot of you I do, but some of you I don't know your story. But God knows your story. And God saw fit to save you. God saw fit to call you, to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And God can use your story. He can and will use every story. So if you're taking notes, I want you to think about a couple of people. Think about Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. I mean, all the Jews hated the tax collectors. Matthew was a tax collector, not a very likely individual for Jesus to choose, but Jesus chose Matthew, and Jesus used Matthew's story. Or think about Peter. Think about how crass Peter was. Think about some of the ridiculous statements that Peter would make. And yet, Jesus calls Peter a rock and uses him as the leader of that early church. Jesus used Peter's story. Or think about Mary Magdalene, someone like Mary Magdalene. You know, the Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene, at one point, she was possessed by seven, not one, but seven demons. Until Jesus came into her life, and Jesus used her story. She got to be the first witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Think about that. God can use everyone's story. And this is how the kingdom of God expands. The kingdom of God expands one story at a time. It's just us telling our story to somebody else. In this Christmas season, make it about that. Make it about what Jesus has done in your life. Amen? Let God use your story to reach people that are walking in darkness. So if you're taking notes, here just a couple of things. Things to remember when you're asking, who am I? Okay? That's the title. Things to remember when you're asking, who am I? And the first thing is, God can use everyone's story. If you're asking that question, who am I? Remember, God can use everyone's story. And then the second thing I want you to know is that God is with you. God is with you. After Moses asked this question, who am I? God's response to Moses is this. God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. Moses, what you need to remember is as weak as you are, as frail as you are, as unfit as you feel, never forget this. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever I call you to do, follow my leading, and I promise I'm going to be with you. I'll never forget the first time I preached actually in front of a real congregation of people. I had spoken several times at youth group. My youth pastor would let me practice at the, I'd go down to the nursing home and I would speak there. I would teach the word of God. And then finally an opportunity came in my home church. Janice and I were about to be married, and we were launching, actually, not only into marriage, but into full-time ministry, as I had accepted a position at a church a few hours away where I was going to be the youth pastor. And so my pastor graciously invited me to preach on a Sunday night. And back then, we had Sunday morning church and Sunday night church, and everybody came Sunday night. And so here it is, Sunday night church, and I've been preparing for weeks for this message, and I'm all excited about preaching, and then about 20 minutes before church starts, I start getting scared because the place is filling up, and we were in the middle of a building program, so we're meeting in a gymnasium, pretty big gymnasium, and I mean, 20 minutes before church started, it was almost packed. every seat. I mean, there's probably 700 people there. And here I am. I mean, I am just freshly graduated from Bible college. And I'm about to preach my first message to 700 people. And I mean, I'm starting to get nervous. All the questions are coming. Who am I? Right? I mean, these are the people. I have college professors sitting in the audience. All right? My college professors are there. I've got Sunday school teachers from when I was in junior high that are there. I've got Royal Ranger leader. I mean, these people that knew me when I was just a kid, you know, they're all there. The elders of the church that I've known ever since I got saved, they're there. My pastor, the pastoral staff, and I am thinking, who am I to think I have anything to say to these people? What am I doing here? God, get me out of this. And I just start to pray, Lord, you got to help me here. I thought I had it all together. I thought I was ready for this, but clearly I am not ready for this. And I'm just on my knees before the service, and I'm praying, God, you gotta help me. And I'll never forget this. The Lord came, and he spoke a word to me that actually changed my life. It not only changed that night, but it changed my life. The Lord came to me, and he said, Tim, I'm with you. And then here's what he said. The Lord said, this isn't about what you can do. This is about what I'm going to do. Tim, this isn't about you. This isn't about your ability or inability. This isn't about how much you know or how much you think you don't know. This is not about you. This is not about what you can do. This is about what I can do. And that's a message that Moses would learn. He would get that into his heart. He would learn that it wasn't about him, but that he served a great big God that was going to use him in amazing ways. And I want you to know, in this Christmas season, you think, well, what do I have to offer? What do I have to give? What do I have to share? Listen, it's not about you. It's about God who is big and great and awesome. It's about a God who is in you, who has saved you, who has called you, and a God who will use you. Yeah, God will use you. He is a big God. He's a big God. God is going to be with you. And then the third thing I want you to take with you this morning is this. There is power and authority in the name of the Lord. There's power and authority in the name of the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is your name? What is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you, has sent me to you. Now this is the very first time that God reveals his covenant name, the name Yahweh. And Yahweh is so simple. It literally means I am. Now, the power of this is found in how simple it is. God is just saying I am. You see, these people are used to gods who have a name that describe what they do. Like the sun god, the moon god of the stars, Neptune, the god of the sea, whatever god, they're the god of something. And God is saying, I cannot be put in a box. I cannot be defined. I am the God of it all. I am the God of the moon and the sun and the stars and everything you see, the seas, the air. I'm the God of everything. So don't try to define me. Just call me I am. Just call me Yahweh. God is saying, I am too big for your names. I am too big for your titles. Just call me Yahweh. Just call me I am. That's the great, great power, the name of the Lord. That's why, guys, when we pray, we don't pray in our own name. We pray in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. This is Jesus talking. He says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. His name is the name that is above every name, church. And when we go, we go in the name of Jesus. The name is above every name, right? When you go to that family dinner and you're wondering, man, I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm not going to talk about religion. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And you're going with all kinds of fear. I want you to know you go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of, pray in the name of Jesus. Go in the authority of Jesus Christ and let him lead you and guide you and use you. Amen? Whether it's your family or your neighbor or your co-worker, go. Pray. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the authority of Jesus. Moses went in the name of Yahweh, the name of his God. So listen, guys, God can use everybody's story. God is with you. And when you go, there's power and authority in the name of the Lord. Power and authority in the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture, and we're going to close with this, okay? Because as I was thinking about the call of God on Moses' life, I thought about another prophet of God by the name of Isaiah. And the time that God calls Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, says, "The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him there were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying." Why were they covering their faces and their feet? Because of the holiness of God. That's why. And here's what they're saying. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Wow, this is pretty amazing stuff, huh? Pretty amazing stuff Isaiah is experiencing here. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So there, in the holy presence of God, Isaiah is made very well, he is very aware of his own shortcomings and his own failures. And he says, "Woe is me." But God had an answer for that. It says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Here am I, send me. Here in the presence of God, Isaiah is very aware of his sinfulness, of his very aware of his shortcomings. But God atones for his sin. And the same is true of all of our stories. We're very aware of our shortcomings, right? We know how we failed. We know our past. We're very aware. But I want you to know, through the blood of Jesus Christ, your sin has been atoned for. It's been taken care of. And now, as you stand before God, you've been made clean. And so God can use you. And God is calling to each and every one of us to take his love into this world. You don't have to have a big vision like Isaiah had here. You don't have to have a big vision, this big, incredible experience. We have the words of Jesus because Jesus said, "Go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the good news." We have our marching orders, church. We have our marching orders from Jesus. Amen? We have this command from Jesus, and Jesus can and will use us. But let's move from saying, "Who am I?" to saying, "Here I am." Let's move from saying, "Who am I?" to saying, "God, here I am. Here I am." Will you make that move with me this morning? Instead of second-guessing yourself, what do I have to offer? Who am I? Start saying, "God, here I am. If you think you can use me, God, here I am. Here I am." Stop asking, who am I? And start saying, Lord, I volunteer. Here I am. Here I am. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. We're just going to close in prayer this morning, and we're going to come before the Lord and say, God, here I am. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Hey, before the early church ever got started preaching the gospel, they were told by Jesus to do something first. They were told by Jesus to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift that the Father had promised. They were supposed to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus told them, when that happens, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Okay? These folks that were so frightened when Jesus was crucified that they didn't even show up. All right? This guy Peter, who denied even knowing Jesus. All right? These people were about to become world changers. World changers. Not because of themselves, but because they were going to be filled with the most awesome power in all of the universe. They were about to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God came into their lives, when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of them, when the Holy Spirit of God started leading them and guiding them, they became world changers. And I want you to know, if we're going to do anything that makes any kind of difference in our community, it's not going to be because of us. It's going to be because we are men and women, young people, children who are filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, then we will be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. I am so tired, church, of a church that is shrinking back in the day that we live in. A church that is afraid to speak out in the name of Jesus. A church that's trying to be politically correct and trying to fit into this world. A church like that is not going to change anything. If we're going to be a church that makes a difference, we need to be men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God, and we boldly go forth into this world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? In the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not a day for us to shrink back. This is a day to go forward and shine the light and the love of Jesus Christ in a world that's lost. So would you with me this morning stop asking, who am I? And start saying, God, here I am. Here I am. If you can use me, God, here I am. Here I am. If that's you, if you just want to be a volunteer, and you, along with Isaiah, you just want to say, God, if you can use me, here I am. If that's you, I just want you to volunteer just by lifting your hand up. Say, God, here I am. Here I am. God, here I am. Use me. Use me. God, here I am. Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to pray for every person that has their hand up right now, God. Lord, I pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will fill them with a holy boldness. I pray that you will fill them with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. The love that's going to overcome all the hatred and darkness of this world. God, I pray that you will use each one of us. And God, that we would stop being intimidated with knowledge of our past and our shortcomings and our failures. We will stop asking, who do I think I am? And we will start saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. God, use me. Use me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hey, let's just respond by singing this great, great song. And let's make this song our prayer, just calling forth the Holy Spirit to move in our community, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation, and in our world. Let's make this our prayer today.